Amy, what is something that you know you've done right as a mom? I don't mean perfect, but you know, for all the worries and regrets we've talked about, what is one thing that you feel really good about as a mom?
The one thing that came to mind almost immediately is that my boys know they can talk to us about anything. Now, that has been hard won, let me say, because the way that they know they can talk to us about anything is we've had to have some really hard conversations, like uncomfortable conversations over the years to get to that point. We had to be the initiator of some of those sticky conversations and come to them with grace and love to have those conversations. But I do think that's one of the things that we've done well and I feel good about. How about you?
Of all the things that we've done as a family, the one that turned out way, way better was our family tradition of reading together. And when the kids were little, you know, we just thought it, oh, it's good family time, it's family bonding time. And I guess I kind of assumed that as they got older, we would quit doing it. But we kept on doing it well into their high school years. And then even when they would come home from college, they would expect to hang out with us and read aloud for an hour in the evening in the family room. And so what developed from that was this kind of secret vocabulary because of all the places we had gone through books and the characters we had known. And I would not have guessed how bonding it would be and, or how excited the kids would be when they would say, oh, I was in a conversation with so-and-so and they had never read such and such. And I was like, oh, we read that when I was in fifth grade as a family. I mean, like, this is something they talk about. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, we read together a lot too. Probably not quite that long, but yeah, that's awesome. It's nice to be able to look back, and I hope all our listeners can too, with every relationship that they have. And if we asked you what makes this relationship great, you could say, you know, that's a wonderful thing.
Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
Today, we're processing what we learned from our interview with Kathy Lipp, author of The Mom Project.
Of course, as always, I just love talking to Kathy. I love how intentional she is. And even
Yes.
though her book is The Mom Project, I want to talk about relationships in general, because I think a lot of what she discussed absolutely can apply to friendships and marriage and work relationships. So,
Yes.
how do you know if you're connected to your kids or those that you love in general? How do you know when those connections are strong?
One of the things that I tend to do is to take the emotional temperature of the relationship. So I think in healthy relationships, there should be a lot of laughter, but there should be some crying too, because that's an indicator of if the relationship is safe. Does everybody feel safe in it? Because I think we all have a whole range of emotions. And if we only feel safe bringing the positive to certain relationships, there's probably a little something wrong there.
I love that as a litmus test.
One of the things I do too is just to watch for lengthening spaces in relationships. We've talked a lot about friendships and relationships, and sometimes relationships go away. You know, I mean, they just do. But for those that we really treasure, that we know that we're called to, we just have to pay attention. That was the big thing that I got from Kathy, is that relationships and growing relationships doesn't come naturally to most of us. It's work, and it takes paying attention and being intentional to keep them growing and thriving. How about you?
Well, for each of my family members, I have kind of a different set of criteria that helps me know if we're connected. For me personally, I'm naturally going to feel more connected to somebody who spends time with me and uses lots of words with me and listens to me because my love languages are time and words of affirmation. And so that's the automatic, like if I met a stranger and they spent a long time listening to me, I would immediately feel bonded to them. So that's kind of the danger of that. With my daughter, her love languages are more similar to mine. And so when we do a lot of texting and a lot of sharing by email, and then when we're together, we just hang out, that's how I know we're connected. And also, you know, I like what you said about the range of emotion, you know, knowing that she'll tell me about something she's thrilled about, something she's been disappointed about, knowing that that whole range is happening. With my son, I'm more likely to know that we're doing pretty well in terms of connection by whether he's doing acts of service for me. But the thing that's been hard is I have to ask him. And for the longest time, I was like, well, if he really was a loving son, he would do it automatically. And I realized, or not. I don't know where that rule came from. And so I'm getting more comfortable just being really clear about things that I would like to say, hey, son, sometime this afternoon, I'd love to have you build a fire. And in a very short period of time, he's there. And not only is he there building a fire, but he has a bellows. I don't think we had his bellows when you were here, Amy. He has a little bellows that he uses, you know, so it's not just a fire. He's crafting a fire for his mother. So, and then.
What a man. He's such a great young man because he crafts things in the kitchen. We love that. And that's now he's crafting fires. That's way to go, Jonathan. Boop.
My mathematician in the kitchen. And then Daniel's love language is also acts of service. And the biggest thing I have to do there is notice them because he'll do them, but not tell me. And so I have to make a point to notice what he's been doing and then realize that even though for me, doing laundry isn't an act of service, it's not an act of love. It's just something that needs to get done. It's not, I don't expect a thank you. I don't expect anything. But when Daniel does it, he would like to be acknowledged that he's done something for me. And so that's hard because in my head, it's no big deal. But for him, it's an expression of love. So I literally have to run that through a translator and say, for him, it's an expression of love. So I need to recognize that, feel it, receive it, and then realize that that's a connection point. He doesn't have to do it my way for it to result in connection. I need to watch, notice, listen, and say, oh, we're connected. I get it. And then behave that way.
Well, and that was one of the things about the interview with Kathy. And what you're saying is that love in relationships really does have to be so individualized. Now, you're the personalities girl. So Kathy was talking about this a little bit. Tell us a little bit more about the personalities. Define them a little bit for us. And then let's talk about how we express love to people who have those personalities.
All right. Well, the first one is the expressive. Some of our listeners may have heard this as the sanguine. And this personality, their number one goal in life is to have fun. And they need approval and attention. So it's, of course, you know, you and I both have a certain amount of this to us. So yes. I think it's so easy to connect to this personality because all you have to do is listen to them and tell them they're wonderful.
This is my Nolan. He is we always say he's the party on wheels. He brings the fun into every room. Yes.
Well, and I think another really important part of connecting to this personality is if you need to do a reality check with them, to make sure that it's being delivered gently and in a way that doesn't crush them. Because if an expressive person comes to you with really great news, that may not be the exact moment to tell them, yeah, well, I'm glad for that, but, or, yeah, you're always starting things but never finishing them. I mean, let them have their joy. Let them celebrate. Now, not saying lie to them, not saying that you can't also have some candor in that relationship, but probably not in that exact moment because it feels like you're just trying to cut them down to size. And that's not a connecting behavior. That makes it less likely for them to come and share with you when they're excited.
Well, that pricked my heart because I can tend to do that to my youngest. And what we found out about Nolan, which was fascinating, I have been suspecting this for a while in talking to you, but we finally did both of us did the HSP test on your Sensitive and Strong website. So sensitiveandstrong.com, you guys, if you're interested, has an assessment to see where you are on the scale. As you thought about me, I'm kind of borderline. So I'm kind of on the lower end of the HSP scale, but I'm in there. Mm-hmm. Nolan is very high on the HSP scale. And so if you're expressive and HSP, then that seems like a really interesting combination.
It can come across as invulnerable, but it's not. I mean, because there's so much positive emotional expression, it can be assumed that they're so optimistic that you really do need to pop a few balloons just to bring them back down to earth. But,
oh, I've been the balloon popper, I confess. But I'm starting to get what I need to do here. So that's really
good.
So how about analytics?
Okay, so analytic, this is going to be the personality whose goal is to not just get things perfect, but to have them stay perfect. And so kind of by definition, this is the most disappointed personality because it's just, you can get things perfect. You know, when I speak to like a MOPS group on personalities, I say, you know, you can stay up until 2 a.m. and get the house spotless. But what happens at 6 a.m.? The people wake up and they ruin everything.
Yes.
And so they need the analytic, some of you may have heard the word melancholy as an alternate term, but they desperately need order and sensitivity. They need for their physical world to be in order, and they need other people to be sensitive to their personal needs. And so if they have one time said that they want all the shoes in the basket by the door, that goes forever. And if somebody forgets or, you know, has them all over the living room floor, that's going to be taken pretty personally as a sign of disrespect.
So that's good. I mean, it's helpful to know these things because, hey, for most of us, it's not a big deal to put the shoes in the basket. You know, if you know it matters to someone you love, it makes it easier to do without chafing at it.
Yeah. Well, and that kind of thing is a strong way to connect with an analytic. It's not fun. It's not exciting, but you know, the first two personalities, the expressive and the analytic, are opposite. And so an expressive might be, look, I bought you balloons for your birthday. And the analytic's like, I would have rather you just put your shoes in the basket, really. Because that's what is actually important to them. It's not that they hate the balloons, but it's like, but what I asked for was that. And you did that instead. Uh-huh. How about you do what I ask? And that really will be a strong connection point. It seems a little mundane, but it really does make it. And part of it, it's because they feel heard. They feel heard. They asked for this. You've done what they asked for. And like you said, putting shoes in a basket isn't going to destroy anybody. It's not going to turn them into some kind of codependent. It's just a little habit that they can shift.
Well, what I'm thinking too, as you go through these, is true relationship says what matters to you matters to me.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful with expectations on our end about that, but we can certainly reach out in those kind of ways. So how about drivers?
That's us.
Yeah. Tell everybody how to please me, please.
This personality can be seen as a bit bossy. And I mean, the driving goal of this personality is control. Just think of them wanting the keys to the car. They want to be in the driver's seat. The two things this personality needs are achievement and appreciation. And so their to-do list is often 3 times longer than anybody else's. And they don't need approval the way that the expressive does. With a driver or a choleric, if you say, hey, you did such a nice job, they may well say, I know. And they're not being egotistical. It's just if they bother to do it, it's going to be done well. And this is one of those places where I think a lot of people misunderstand, because especially in a woman, this driving personality can be kind of intimidating. We have words that I won't say on air to describe this kind of person, unflattering words. But her goal, or his goal, if it's a guy, the goal of a driver is life transformation. They really do want to change the world. And so the appreciation they need isn't a you're so wonderful kind of appreciation. It's here's how what you did made a difference for me. And so you can do an amazing compliment for a driver by just really quickly letting them know how their efforts have made an impact on you. And that's all they need. They don't need accolades. They just need to know that they're actually making a difference because they're working hard for that purpose.
Okay, I know this is so true because what you are saying is so true about me. So true. And I have a double whammy because my number one strength is belief. So yeah. I'm driver and belief. So that is what I want, is I want you to say that what I did made a difference. So that's really cool.
And so that's going to be a connecting point. Right?
Yes.
I mean, when somebody comes to you, and you don't even have to feel that they adore you, but if they say, Amy, when you did this, here's the difference it made for me, and I'm never going to forget it, or, you know, my thinking has changed, you feel like, yes, your efforts have been worthwhile. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge form of connection.
And then the last group are the amiables. So how do we reach out to the amiables in our life?
All right. The amiables' goal in life is peace. They are our peacemakers. This is also known as the phlegmatic personality. Often we leave them last in the list just because it's easy to identify the expressive because they're busy talking. You can identify the analytic because they're busy organizing everything and being very detailed. And you can recognize the driver because they're busy telling everybody what to do. And so it almost is the process of elimination because they may not have any of those overt characteristics. This personality tends to be very flexible. Like if a situation needs a leader, they can step in and lead, but then they go back to their kind of peace-loving, relaxed persona. And if they need to be detailed and orderly, they can. If they can be very funny. But really what it comes down to is conservation of energy. They generally aren't going to put out more effort than necessary, unless it's on behalf of other people. This personality won't work as hard for themselves, but they will kill themselves for other people. And so
interesting.
The two things this person needs most is respect and self-esteem, because often this personality doesn't get the same recognition as the others. Like the expressive is often, you know, the cheerleader and everybody, they're in the popular crowd, and the analytic is often getting really, really good grades. And so that's where they're getting recognition, and the driver is often in a form of leadership. And the amiable is often an amazing citizen, but we don't give citizenship awards anymore. I mean, in the classroom, this is the kid who stays after everybody else has dashed out the door and pushes in all the chairs. This is the kid who reaches under and pulls out the gum they saw somebody stick under a table and quietly throw it in the trash. This is the person who reaches down and picks up the potato chips off the floor before somebody steps on them and grinds them into the carpet. And so this is often a very service-oriented person. And one of the ways that we can connect with them is taking the time to get to know them. They're not as flashy. They're not as out there. But they're often very artistic, very musical, or very kinesthetic. And investing time is going to be a huge connection point here.
That's good. And just taking notice. I have some people like that in my life. And because of my driver personality, I tend to underestimate them. And when I shut up for 2 minutes and actually let them talk, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's amazing. You know? So yeah.
Yeah.
Those are such, such helpful tips.
So one of the things that Kathy talked about was how she and her stepson, Jeremy, developed this kind of secret language that was just between the two of them over comedy clips. Mm-hmm. And I really thought, wow, the importance of intentionality in allowing at least a strong part of the relationship to be developed based on the other person's interests rather than just what I have in mind.
Well, it's funny because I had a big kind of aha recently when I was critiquing someone else, of course. So I was watching this relationship and I thought, you know, she wants a relationship with him so much, but she only wants it on her terms. She wants him to come into her space. She won't go into his space. And so I was watching and critiquing, and then I had that aha, like, how many times have I done that? Yeah. And I think what you are describing with the personalities, what Kathy described with Jeremy, is that if we want relationship, we have to become committed into entering someone else's space, not expecting them to come into our space.
And what I heard that Kathy and her family does is that they expand the common space, like they aim to overlap spaces so that they have a large family space that everybody feels comfortable coming into. I thought the cheese tour, the Lip Family cheese tour that they're planning. It just cracked me up. She's actually been posting pictures of the Cheese of the Month Club that they're a part of. So do you, does the Carrolls have a equivalent of the Lip Family cheese tour?
Well, we have a banana cream pie thing going on because we go to the beach every summer at the place where I grew up going to the beach. And so there's a lot of memories there, a lot of traditions there. And but it's funny because I have traditions that I do with my nuclear family, my mom and dad, my brother and his family. But then there are times when we go down with just the four of us and we have created new traditions there. One of the new traditions is that we go to this restaurant that has banana cream pie to die for. Like, and I never thought any banana cream pie was to die for, but this one is. And so it's just one of those silly things, you know, we'll talk about all year or text like in the middle of the winter. I'm dreaming of banana cream pie. Can't wait till summer, you know, and it's just one of those little insider jokes that we do. Not quite as elaborate as the cheese tour. We might be able to, we should try to set up a banana cream pie tour. That, I'd weigh 500 pounds by the end, but that's, you know, a different show.
I love it. I love it. Well, we seem to have pie in common because our family, when we lived in Southern California, we developed this little tradition of whenever we would be getting a little too stressed, we would just take a drive to a little town off the beaten path called Julian. And the place we stayed had no Wi-Fi. It had no TVs. It was, you know, quotes, boring. And so we went to the little town, which just consisted of a little main street. And it had a good old-fashioned general store and a used bookstore that had a used bookstore cat, which was wonderful. Yes. And then it had the Julian Pie Company. And we started making it a tradition to try pretty much every kind of pie they had. They have I think they called it a razzleberry pie that was just to die for. And, you know, the kids, we all have really great memories around being there. And I think part of it was being unplugged. Like, your cell phone didn't even work when you were in Julian. This was a number of years ago. And just having fun together, just spending that time and, you know, becoming experts in something as silly as pie. I mean, it doesn't matter, but it matters.
Okay, pie is not silly. I can totally get behind a pie tradition.
All right, what scripture are you tying with these episodes with, Kathy?
Well, this is one that we mentioned in a recent episode, 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And I think that that's relevant to this conversation because even with the personalities, we're not all of them. And so we're weak in knowing how to connect with people with other personalities. Mm-hmm. And we have to study them. We have to be intentional and we have to work at it. So I think God can take our weaknesses and with some of his wisdom, we can build better relationships.
So what's the bad rule that's come from all of this?
Good relationships don't require work. I thought back to the old movie Love Story. Love means never having to say I'm sorry. What kind of foolishness is that?
Gag.
I think it's probably been one of the most made fun of lines in movie history, right? But sometimes we do act like that. Like if it's a really good relationship, I shouldn't have to work so hard at it. But that's a bad rule.
So what's the truth?
Creating good relationships requires thoughtful work.
Ooh, I love the inclusion of the word thoughtful.
I wanted to infuse it with the intentionality that Kathy shared with us and that you've shared today too.
And for me, the grit aspect is that it takes me work to remember that other people aren't me. Does that sound egotistical or what?
No, I think we all tend towards that, yeah.
And then it takes even more work to act on that knowledge. Like, I can teach the personalities and come home and be horrible to my family. So just knowing the personalities is good, but acting based on it. And for me, it's adapting to meet their needs. That's not changing who I am. You know, we seem to talk about issues where there's this fine balance a lot. I'm not going to become a people pleaser and just lay down my personality. But to make a little accommodation and to be very prayerful about when I'm going to choose something that's a little bit more in my needs and then when I'm going to defer to somebody else's needs. And I think that's a place where we, where another part of the grit is really relying on the Holy Spirit to lead us there rather than our natural inclinations.
Absolutely. And for the grace, I think that it's that realizing that good relationships take time to develop. And the grace is that we don't expect to do one thing and have it change overnight. Kathy talked about with Jeremy, it was a long time before they found that common ground. And so in relationships that we are called to, I think we just have to give a lot of grace and say, I'm in this for the long haul and we'll keep working on this until it's good.
Head on over to gritandgracegirls.com/episode96.
There you'll find this week's transcript, our Digging Deeper download, and the Bible verse art.
In addition to the Grit and Grace podcast, Amy and I both offer one-on-one coaching. Amy is an amazing speaker coach, and I love working with writers. You can check out Amy at nextstepcoachingservices.com and me at writebesideyou.com.
Make sure to join us next week when we'll be talking to Arlene Pellicane, author of Calm, Cool, and Connected, 5 Digital Habits for a More Balanced Life.
For today, grow your grit, embrace God's grace, and when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and break it. What?
I just realized that I just used our scripture for this one. Shoot a monkey.
What?
So on this Kathy one, you know, you had put 2 scriptures, and I just used one of them in the previous episode.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Not a problem.
All right.
You can find a little segue or a little connection if you want to, or not. Yeah.
Okay.
I know. You know?
All right.
I think we recovering perfectionists worry about a lot of things that nobody else worries about. I mean, that's just a theory, but it's starting to prove true in my life.